This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:06 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Ayman and Cam. And for our first story today, we are discussing whether we've lost our trust in institutions and why that would be the case. So this comes after a study by the PR agency Edelman, which measured public trust in people and institutions. So this study was done in 28 countries and it looked at how much trust people have in four institutions, which are government, businesses, NGOs and the media. So here's a clip of Mr. Edelman himself explaining the objective of the Trust Barometer.
We try to get a snapshot every year of trust in the institutions that matter: government, business, NGOs, and media. And it gives us a plan for the year, especially for our clients who need to appreciate, do I have to speak up on this issue, or do I have to emphasize my employees more this year? The classic model of trust was premised on rising economic tide, yielding more trust in institutions, that a good legal system allows the frictionless transactions. But today what we see is, yes, it's competence of the institution, but now it's also ethical framework, how a company does what it does.
So essentially, the PR agency measured trust by looking at two things. One, how competent institutions are, meaning how well can they deliver on their promises. And two, how ethical they are, looking at the things that they are doing to improve society. And what they found was that none of these institutions were perceived as being both competent and ethical by the public.
So over the 20 years we've been looking at trust, what we've seen is that, in fact, media has been a slow slip. NGOs have always been at the highest. Government had a peak in 2009 when it bailed out the world. And business has the most up and down. But business is now tied with NGOs for the first time as the most trusted institution.
And some interesting finds from the survey was that capitalism was what's driving a large part of the trust deficit.
More than half the people, 56%, say that they think that capitalism in its present form is causing more harm than good. But I actually see a way forward here. I see that business can actually improve the situation by engaging in job training and also paying fair wages. And that's the key that unlocks this trust deficit. The truth of the matter is the median income has been stagnant for decades, while the total pie is growing, the share of the 1% is increasing. So the necessity of finding a better way, and that key is job retraining. It's not to divide the pie equally, it is to give equal opportunity.
So businesses came out on top as the most trusted institution, but Edelman said that this isn't because they're the most ethical, but because they're the ones that can be trusted to get things done. And I think, I don't know, from my impression, right, this idea of whether we have trust in these different institutions, government and businesses and all that, a large part of it, I think, would be informed by our own grievances in what we think these institutions should address. So for example, if there's a lot of dissatisfaction about economic inequality, for example, right now there are a lot of protests around the world. There's a lot of conversations as well on the political scene and on among the general society as well, that, you know, there is growing inequality in terms of wealth and income between the top 1% and the bottom 99%. And I think this feeds into this idea that, you know, these institutions are failing us. They have not helped us elevate ourselves economically. And that means we cannot trust them because they are not doing their best to help society and us.
Yeah, I mean, I broadly agree with what you're saying there, okay, Ayman. But I would also add another factor, which is that our trust deficit has also been massaged, fertilized by the media.
Okay.
In that we have been given a diet for, gosh, I mean, 30-odd years now, of being told to not trust these institutions. By the way, this survey was conducted across 28 countries. Mm-hmm. Edelman, I think, has an office in Kuala Lumpur, so I would imagine, I would hope anyway, that at least some Malaysians were actually polled on this. And I don't know if Malaysia has its own particular grievances. Mm-hmm. But I would say that, media has been, the news media has been teaching us to not trust government, to not trust NGOs, not trust vaccines, for goodness sakes. So everything is to be not trusted. Nothing is to be believed. And so there is a trust breakdown. Edelman, being a PR company, looks at trust because once you lose trust as one of their clients, you're in deep trouble.
I mean, that, of course, relates to the fact that in terms of the media, because you brought up the role of the media in it, right? So in the media landscape, there are perhaps different sides to the spectrum, those that support an issue, those that are more critical against it, those are more supportive of a politician or a political agenda, and those who are against it. And perhaps what's going on is that people who subscribe to a certain point of view would believe an opinion or a story that's being carried by a news organization that supports their point of view. So isn't that a sort of like, you know, an echo chamber sort of thing where your beliefs are further entrenched or strengthened because you're reading the same kind of media that you read anyway?
Ayman, you are thinking with your head. Okay. This is where the problem is, because beliefs are about feelings now. It's mm-hmm. all about feelings. So yes, you will believe something if it makes sense with my feelings. I feel that that's true and that's not true. And facts be damned. I mean, it's irrelevant now. And if you do start quoting facts, actually, the Trump campaign showed very clearly, and Brexit for that matter, if you start quoting facts, it goes against you. Mm-hmm. It's all about just willpower and feelings. So that's the kind of stories that we're being told now. So when we are asked when we were being polled on something like this, do you trust an institution, do you trust the government, etc., we're just reacting with feelings and not really weighing up facts. I mean, I'm old enough to remember people actually older than myself in this country, in Malaysia, who would have said throughout up until the 90s, I trust my government. I whatever they say, I will trust what they say. I will trust my prime minister. Mm-hmm. Now, even the same people would say, I never trust the government. I never did trust them. I've never trusted them. Because now it's just, we can't be seen to trust them. And I think that actually our levels of trust lie somewhere between those two.
So we want to find out what you guys think about this. We've been, you know, asking around, as always, because this is Popeye, so we want to find out what people thought about this. So first we asked them, how important is trust when it comes to these four institutions? And this is what they said.
Trust is equally important among all these four parties, but I think for some of the body, for example, government or media, when trust is misused, then it would have a greater consequences.
Yeah, I think trust is important for every organization. As long as you're accountable to anyone, I want to know that you are really doing what you promise that you're going to do for me.
I think for all four of them, they are all equally important. As for media, it's because most of the information we get these days are instant and timely. So we need to make sure that the information and all the information that we get are accurate and verified.
Then we asked them to rank these institutions from the most to the least trusted.
Most to least, I think the most trusted I can see in NGOs because they are non-profit. Next, maybe business, government and media. The last one, so sorry.
Business, NGOs, media, government.
The most trusted is NGO, followed by business, media and then government.
For me, least trusted, I would say media, top the list, and then followed by government, business, and after that, NGOs.
Finally, we asked what it would take for them to trust these institutions more.
For the government, maybe more transparency.
More transparency.
Transparency.
Each of these bodies need to have a government body to overlook their operation.
For media, I would expect that unbiased news. For government, I would say less politicking, and for them to actually honour all their elections manifesto.
And I think there are very interesting points there. I love that
quite the reverse of each.
Yeah, exactly. And I love the one who apologized to it because I didn't trust the media. But there was one point there where, you know, one of the answers to is what it takes for them to trust these institutions more is when it comes to the media, it should be unbiased. Do you think that is a feasible expectation? Should there be actual unbiasedness, or should there be some degree of we are for or we are against something?
It's I've been in the media and it's for a long time. It's a very difficult game to play, and one's biases come through. You can't help it. But what say Murdoch's companies have shown over the last 30 odd years is you can make a great profit out of being very biased.
Yes, of course.
And nowadays, the camps have separated in very clearly on political lines, but also on age lines and income lines, etc. And you can make a really good profit if you only appeal to, 5% of the population. So it's tempting for media companies to be biased.
And I'm thinking of the BBC, right? They are a public institution, of course. They are supposed to be unbiased.
Yes.
If I'm correct. But at the same time, they have faced accusations, for example, from more conservative sections of the society, saying that, BBC is a more liberal mouthpiece or something. And I think there have been efforts to perhaps like trim them down a bit or something like that?
Well, this is the problem when your financial model requires government money. Mm-hmm. And so they're dependent on the government. And in the past, the BBC has been labelled a liberal institution, and probably was, because now it is being castigated for being quite the opposite, being a very conservative model and pumping out literally a conservative party message. So, because they're the paymasters.
Yeah.
And the Conservatives won government again. So, they're in trouble. So bias is, the institution, the BBC once was the most trusted institution in Britain, but it is so easy to attack these institutions and to break down the trust.
And I'm thinking, of course, right now there's a lot of conversations about businesses, right? Like whether we can trust businesses. Right now I'm thinking of tech companies, things like Facebook, Google, Amazon, who have been criticized in many sectors, especially in terms of how they use our personal data, the way they obtain these data. There have been stories coming up that, for example, their home assistants are constantly listening to our conversations, and that's how they build up on their artificial intelligence. If I'm not mistaken, there was a study that you found that said that people actually trust Google and Amazon.
I know, it's kind of crazy, isn't it? Yeah, exactly. The things that, this is these companies will be jumping for joy here. They've won, because a survey done by Morning Consult in the U.S. United States asked across a broad range of age groups, and with the Gen Z, I'm not sure which one's Gen Z. They're like younger than millennials.
Yes.
Okay, younger than millennials. Most trusted brands, number one is Google.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Actually, Facebook's not on there. Twitter's not on the list at all. But, Kit Kat and M&M's are. So, these are brands that get the job done, I suppose. But Google is, you're giving away every possible piece of information you could to Google. But they are trusted.
But I guess it depends on what sort of grounds do they define trust, right?
Yeah,
because if in terms of trusting a certain company to deliver on their services efficiently, you could argue that Google can be trusted to do that.
They get the job done, don't they? But meanwhile, when you break it down to baby boomers, with people older than myself, I just want to point that out. the most trusted brands are the U.S. Postal Service. Uh-huh. And UPS and Hershey chocolates. So just things that simply just deliver things.
Mm-hmm.
And the likes of Google, not on the list. Facebook, not on the list. None of these companies are on the list at all.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking about, you know, this Edelman study as well. So it defined competency as being able to deliver on your promises. And it found that in terms of NGOs, people think that, you know, they are not so competent, even though they are ethical. And I'm just wondering, like, does the fact that maybe NGOs are more limited in their resources, which inhibits their ability perhaps to deliver on their aims and goals, does it affect the trust of the people in them? Because I always believed that people have a positive view of NGOs. You know, these are the ones who actually work for the people, who actually care about the people. But I guess they are, can always be limited by their lack of resources, I guess.
How times change. Back in the 90s, NGOs, certainly in Malaysia, would have been considered the least trustworthy people, real troublemakers. And now they, I think even in Malaysia, they'd be considered trustworthy. We've all watched movies. We've all believed in the underdog against the evil oppressor. So we're affected by that. But I'd like to know, you know, it'd be great to know from listeners how they feel about this, because it's about perception.
Yeah.
And there may be no truth in any of what we think we believe or not.
Because perceptions change every time, right? And across different locations as well.
Yeah, so this survey is really telling us about changing perception trends. But what the survey kind of saying is that people do not believe that it is possible to be both competent and ethical. I don't think they're necessarily saying that companies are failing in their ethical stance. They just don't think, they don't see how it can actually, you can do the two things at the same time. So what Mr. Edelman saying just now, whether or not this is true, I don't know, is that if you can marry those things, if you actually can be competent and ethical and prove your ethical status, then you would be the winner in the future. That's what he believes.
Well,
but again, that's just perception. That's just selling. Yeah, that's just selling it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a perception kind of thing, right? So we want to know from you guys, is it possible for the four institutions, government, businesses, media, and NGOs to be both competent in the sense that they deliver on their promises and at the same time being ethical, whereby they serve the public and the people? Let us know. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up is the 5:30 news, and we will return after that. So stay here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.